I've seen Andy at the Southwest Gathering up in Northeast. I've seen him in Myrtle Beach, and I always knew that if I ever heard him talk someday, I'd be very moved, and I was last night. That's all I have to say about you.
Good.
But what he says about coming here, I really have taken much more away than I know I brought to you all. It's wonderful. When we were in Myrtle Beach in 1958, we all went en masse to the airport at Wilmington to see Bob off. And we sat around him, maybe 200 of us sitting on the floor at the airport, sitting around him very quietly. And some people were crying, and some people were asking, Baba, when are you going to come again? When are we going to see you again? And he said, I never come, and I never go. Take me with you, wherever you go. I can't think of anything else, so I'm going to pass it on to my sister.
Thank you. We're bookends, and the book is, Andy has said the book, the heart. And what can bookends say? Except every time I'm together with you lovers, wherever it is, it takes me back to before I met Baba and how my heart was breaking for the world, the way the world was, the way we were. And there was just no key. I was desperate. Truly desperate. There was a life to be lived that I sensed and didn't know how it could be lived. And somewhere there had to be this life being lived. And of course you heard the story. I met Beloved. And I met his first lovers. They were a handful. And the world was still out there. It was Baba's world, but it certainly wasn't functioning the way it does now with his lovers. I see a new life starting. I think this is part of the manifestation. When someone said, when will Baba break his silence? I said, I don't know anything about Baba's work. It's like needing brain surgery and starting to study it yourself. You leave it to the surgeon, and Baba's the surgeon. That's his business. But I can't help thinking that this is breaking his silence also. When I heard the young people speak and the lives, they have no shame when it comes to Baba. They're not hiding it. They see the value in true loving friendship in their lives. Being lived the way it is the start of what I felt Baba wanted us to do. My sister said that we come back with more. We owe you for showing us how great Baba's love was. I felt when I was with him that I was, we'd have a tendency to say we, but I'll say I was dense. I loved him more than anything I had ever loved in my life, but I had no idea. It was an unconscious awareness of the vastness of that love, and I see it now coming into fruition. I was at the center once, and finally something reached me that everything was perfect the way it always was. I didn't like the world the way it was before, but at the center, it was only a few years ago, I realized that absolutely everything, even the horrible suffering, everything had to be exactly the way it was. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here now, at this moment. We're just the front lines of loving him. But what seems negative in the world compared to, I was wondering why it's incrementally wonderful. It's incremental, the growth of what's wonderful in the world. It seemed as though things are getting really dreadful, and one could be negative and start, isn't it awful? We have problems now that we never had before, but we also have Baba growing so powerfully. And Mani said, the brighter the light, the deeper the shadow. And you're the light. Your lives are the light. And loving Baba is bringing the light down against this shadow. And it is Baba's world. Everything is Baba's, no matter how bad it is. I tell myself this. It's all Baba's world. He made my life worth living, as my sister said. I couldn't have gone on another moment without meeting him. And when I think it's all over and that was it, I find that I continue to receive the gift from him. I don't expect anything. And I get the fanciest pastry in the world. I don't get black bread. I get caviar and champagne. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to meddle with myself anymore. Because what do I know? All I have to do is enjoy life. When I was in India just 2 years ago, Eric decided to look at the diary that they kept wherever they traveled. And when he opened it to when Baba met me, drew me to him, because what did I know? And he opened the diary, he described the meeting and the bird, and he also told me something that I did not remember from 1956 to 1987, I think it was. Can you beat it? But I just couldn't remember everything. And he said, Baba told you not to worry and to be happy. That's quite a message. I don't call it happiness because there's nothing external that provokes it. I've had joy where I thought my heart was going to burst, and a silliness. The other day I started singing, you know, the song Pretty Woman Walking Down the Street. Well, I thought, silly woman walking down the street. I really wonder why Baba brought me to him. I'm just about as goofy and shallow. I really don't give anything to anyone. I don't do much. But he loved me. And there are times when I realize that everything that comes out that's worthy comes from him. And that's a surprise. And I really think that he had a thing going with his masters, and I think he said, wait till you see what I can do with silly people. I just didn't have the capacity for this. Not at all. And it has to be something higher. And I really think that the sooner you let your mind go, it's okay. Maybe people around you will be alarmed for a while. just give it all up. I love giving it all up. You know, we all think we're carrying a cross and we have to do this and we have to do that. We truly do nothing. We truly do nothing. And Baba does it all. I cannot believe that this little bit of brain up here, this neocortex, does anything. Thank God Baba reminded us of that. Imagine not having to be afraid anymore, not having to survive anymore, not having to struggle, that it's all okay. It's more than okay. It's so beautiful. The gift is there to be had every living moment. And we stand in our own light, that's all. We're the obstacle. The first time I ever heard anyone speak honestly was on the center. I mean, truly honestly, bearing his soul was on the center in 58 when Baba was there. It came as a shock. I've decided to keep him anonymous, but he came up to me and he said, I've always had problems with money. And no one spoke that honestly then. And out in the world, people really don't bear their souls that well. And since then, I've seen the honesty grow and grow and grow. And that's what getting real is. Just being real, being natural, being yourself. And I'm always learning from you young people. Yeah. I'm always learning about what it means to be natural. We grew up when we were taught to be acts. We acted our way through life. We performed and our ego reformed ourselves. We turned our lives over to the ego, the source of ignorance, and that ego was running our lives. And meeting Baba, I feel, was the first time it was shattered. That's what I meant when I said, he gave me myself and I met myself. I came home to the place where we all must live. And that's in the heart. And I'm going to go home and take all those heart feelings with me. And thanks to you, all of you. I hate to do this, but I have to, being honest. I thought California Sahavas was great, and I thought the Northeast Gathering was great. Now I have to say, I think this one is the best one of all. It's so balanced.
Yes, I agree.
Don't tell them I told you. It's been Baba Lovely. Thank you. Thank you.
I heard Balna too say one day, Baba can accomplish as much through confusion as others can create through order. And whenever I heard you say about Baba using we fools in his work, fool number 900 and so on. It's not the fact that it, this is an opinion, you know, everything you've heard me say to the most part is opinion, right? I'm allowed to have my own opinion as long as I don't have my own facts.
So, that might spoil
so
the opinion.
My opinion is that when we think about who he is, of course he can perform anything through us, right? And it's not that we should be proud or be, you know, look down on other people of other persuasions. God forbid. I've heard this among Baba lovers. I've heard people talk about, those born-agains, you know, and things like that. Please, for God's sake, don't talk that way. Don't think that way. People of all persuasions are his lovers also. It's like the old lady who said, talking to her, a new friend, and she said, well, we's Baptists too, only we claps differently. That's what it's like, you see. So when somebody claps out of sync to you, don't be upset by it. Whatever way they show their love for him, he's wonderful. This is what he wants. And it might be every bit as sincere and every bit as deep and every bit as real as anything you've ever felt. So please don't fall into that trap. Enjoy other people's talking about their perspective of God. Or even if they don't believe in God. That doesn't make any difference because his love doesn't depend on what we believe. It's kind of a surprising thing to think about. If it did, we'd never make it. So if somebody else wants to play with it, maybe without a full deck or however you read it, be very careful. Because I found in my experience in living with Baba that every time that I, in my mind and in my heart, I criticize somebody for what I've observed them do or what I think they're doing, almost immediately I've had a wonderful opportunity to do the same darn thing. And a lot of times I took the bait. Mm-hmm. I think you'll find that's true if you watch things carefully. Mm-hmm. So loving Baba does not give us any authority. Does not give us the infallibility that is his. Let him do all that, as you said. Let him serve the ball.
May I say that I'm going to drag you and Liz into this and everyone else who was with Baba in 58, but I looked around and I thought it was the highest of the high with the lowest of the low. There was nothing special about us except Baba.
Yeah.
Except Baba. He also used us. It was impersonal. I felt there was no status. We were just blessed. It was his grace that brought us, nothing that we really did. Mm-hmm. So feeling special is not a very good place to be, except that Baba's special.
Yeah, when we think we're special, we're in bad company.
Mm-hmm. Continuing on with that thought, too, when we judge other people, we're judging ourselves, and we're projecting onto them our own limitations and our own stupidity. We're always trying to fix everything outside of ourselves when we do that, instead of fixing ourselves. We want to have a perfect car or a perfect house or a perfect this or perfect children, and we try to make them perfect, when the whole time what we really want to do is be perfect ourselves. And only Baba can do that.
Can we think of anything to say that they don't know?
I think they ought to tell us a thing or two.
Yes.
I do too.
And I think we ought to pay them for being here.
I think we ought to reassert the concept of us being the audience.
Yeah. Thank you.
Somebody had a hand up over there.
Yeah.
Or they were scratching.
Scratching. Yes. Yes.
Please, Albert. Can you say it again louder?
What do you see as the purpose of suffering?
Can I answer that?
Please do.
Because I mentioned, I really got very upset after I met Baba and saw in the discourses that we were responsible for 95% of our own suffering, feeling like a victim and that everyone else was doing it to me. And I continued along that route because it was really easy not being responsible and blaming external circumstances for our suffering. It made me start, I think, the suffering I had before and this feeling of incompleteness and just every bad feeling that causes suffering led me, the purpose was to lead me to Baba. But once I had him and felt that divine love and his acceptance, the suffering that I had afterwards certainly was self-caused and I had to stop. It took me a long, it's like taking a Band-Aid off slowly. I didn't take it off quickly. I peeled it slowly, 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 and I took all my old needs along with me and tried to continue to live with having come home to Baba. I came home. It really should have been all over then. But I continued the old patterns. I continued the old needs. For a while, they spiraled out, probably being too much of a shock to have them taken away all at once. But the suffering came from continuing the old way of living. And what I cannot control maybe is that 5% suffering. But I certainly found out that 95% of it came from my own ignorance. And when I suffer, it is because I do not leave it to him completely. Remember his love for me. Remember that he is the doer. He is the source. That he alone was real. God alone is real. I suffered terribly whenever a situation would come up. The first question was my MO, my modus operandi was always, what am I supposed to do? What am I going to do about this? When you have incomplete data and you have thrown a problem, there's a tremendous source of suffering. So whenever I think, what am I going to do about it? I realize how wrong that is and that it's what is Baba going to do about it, but use me as the, it's as though I'm the computer, but the operator is our beloved. And it really is tough. There's a lot of suffering, and it takes a lot of courage not to get frantic about living in the world. And to really trust Baba and have faith in him after you've done the best. You do the best, whatever that is. With me, it's gotten down to really manual labor, like if I just clean the house and open the mail and do a few things, get it lined up, because, as I said, insufficient data. I have no idea what to do anymore except to love Baba. And when I get to that, isn't that pitiful? All there is to love Baba and feel his love and let everything else go. And is that a load off my back? I'm just suffering less and less and getting sillier every day. I don't know, did that answer your question about the suffering? It led to Baba.
The most difficult thing in my life about suffering is that it's like illness. It necessarily focuses everything on ourselves. You know? Suffering to me is at its height, its zenith. When I'm thinking about how much I'm suffering, which generates, it magnifies the suffering. I'm focusing on it, how much I'm hurting, how much I'm suffering. So that's why I tell the story about the package. You know, the package being, the wrapping being the circumstances and the suffering and the ego that's involved, which is perfectly all right, you know. If we didn't suffer and really feel pain and suffering, it wouldn't serve any purpose. If we could just rise above it by saying, oh, well, it's Baba's will, it's no problem, forget it. That's not suffering. And we need sometimes to suffer. Okay? So if we can, and this I am not adept at this at all, because when I get into the suffering mode, I'm a real expert. I mean, I really can suffer.
Better than me?
Better than you. This is a fine art. No.
Do you share it?
Yeah. I share it, but I keep most of it to myself as though it was a precious commodity. And so if we can remember him in the course of suffering, we don't suffer. That's why he says, make me your constant companion. Because if we could do this, we would not suffer. You can't think of him in love and suffer. Your mind can't do it. But unfortunately, I will speak for myself. Unfortunately, when I'm in the depths of suffering and feeling sorry for myself, I'm not thinking about him, I'm thinking about me. And I'm in bad company. Now the purposes of suffering, only he knows. I can look back on my life and see times in it that I suffered a great deal. Some of it self-indulging, some of it self-created, of course. But a lot of it, I think, was given to me as a blessing. And I don't care for any more of it. You know, suffering is, it's bad news. No matter how much of a blessing it is, I don't want it. That's a paradox, isn't it?
No, yeah, it's true.
A lot of people go looking for suffering. It's because they think they suffering comes from ignorance and stupidity and not knowing what life is for and not depending on the real source. And as long as we are ignorant, we will suffer.
See, it's like I've got a cavity and it hurts like a dickens, and I want to get the cavity filled, but I don't want to go to the dentist. It's like that.
Yeah, perfect.
So everything comes from him. And suffering can be, you know, it always used to bother me a lot whenever I'd write books and I'd read things about saints. And it seemed like in order to be saintly, you just had to suffer a hell of a lot. I mean, all the time, you know, just writhe on the ground and you know, and be in a thorn bush all the time and all that stuff. And I thought, my God, you know, if that's what a saint is, if that's what saintliness is, forget it. I don't want any part of it. Not realizing that these people live in a state of bliss.
Yes.
Their love for God is so intense that what they go through would be intense suffering to us, but not to them. And so people who have never had that experience of his grace and his bliss and the great joy that comes through loving him write about these saints from their own point of view. Mm-hmm. And they can't see anything in it but blood and guts. So that used to bother me. And then when I met the Monoli, which I guess is as close to saintliness as I've ever met, of course, notwithstanding meeting Baba, I found that people that I consider to be real saints are intensely happy. You know, it's like they have something great going for them, and I say, well, okay, you can join us if you're willing to suffer a lot. It's not like that, really, but I see people go through, and I've seen people go through intense suffering and divorces and sickness and all kinds of things. And not only surviving it, but coming out of it like a rose. Coming out of it, smelling like a rose. And so what the purpose is, I don't know. But it's a part of being a human being. And so we have to thank him that we are that. And if suffering is a part of that package, then we have to buy
it
and be grateful for it, as well as how can these wonderful times like this be appreciated by us if we haven't gone through those rainy days? You know?
So on the other hand, if Baba truly lives our lives within us. He is who we are. I like making him happy. There's enough suffering in the world. Mm-hmm. And if I enjoy the gifts I have and live in that blessed place where I know it's all Baba, then he suffers less. I saw his suffering, and it hurt me terribly. I couldn't even bear to see him pictures of him after 58 and 59. And as he bore the suffering of the world more and more on his body, I, to this day, really don't like the photographs of him, and I couldn't look at him then to see what had happened to him. And I feel for myself that suffering adds to his suffering. And it just whistling in the dark and just going through and trying to be as brave as possible. I'm sure around the corner he's got something else for me. Yeah. But right now, it's living in the now. It's, and even, I've got to say, it's a glorious life. It's fun. Yeah. Because of him.
How absolutely God.
More questions? Quick.
Yes.
Well, remember he said, smile, don't be garlic-faced. And we've been raised in this humanistic kind of, you know, when you go to school, it says, well, if you repress your feelings, it'll make you sick. And I thought, well, that's not right. If you don't feel happy, why should you smile? And in the last 10 years, and I thought when Baba told us that, he's just saying that. I said that a lot to myself. He's just saying that to make us feel better. He's just saying that. It's just for one person. It can't be true. And in the last few years, they realized that if you just use the muscles of your face in a smile, that your brain is flooded with endorphins and it makes you happy. Now, that was scientific research. One writer has recently said, if science is describing reality, then why do we feel so not at home here? Why are we so unhappy with their concept of reality? Another thing that he had said was that if you took drugs, it would tear the veil between the hemispheres of the upper brain. And I thought, how poetic. It was always poetic. And I heard a scientist speak one day and say actually that there was such a dysfunction of the brain after certain psychedelic drugs or abusive drugs that the spheres were no longer connected. There was no communication between them. So I click another one up.
Baba said something, I can't quote it, and perhaps you'll find it in the literature, where Baba said something about showing a respect for science.
Yes.
According to how it's used, it can be like many other things. It can be a blessing and it can be a curse. Mm-hmm. But he said something about that scientists, and this is not coming from him, it is as a statement of love. He's saying that scientists often fail to, to crank God into the formula.
Ah.
Something like that, you see. It's a tendency that we all have. We have a tendency to find some particular field of knowledge or whatever that we become very deeply involved in, and the person becomes an expert, right? And then he falls into the trap of thinking that because he knows a lot about this little grain of sand over here, that he knows a lot about a lot of things. You know, I heard a nuclear physicist on television one day. I taped a program, and I was so upset with this man because he has obviously had to be brilliant to be what he was, scientifically.
Yes.
And he tried to talk about spiritual things. And he was, in that context, a total idiot. And that's an unkind thing to say. This is how I reacted to him, is what mm-hmm. I should say. Mm-hmm. Because the things that he said were absolutely distorted. Terribly. And people, probably many people watching that program felt that this man was mm-hmm. a guru or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we mustn't make that mistake, no. Because we've read God Speaks and we've read the discourses and we've done this and we've that, done that intellectually in our relationship with Baba, mm-hmm. that we should take the opportunity to tell other people about these things, mm-hmm. because in the privacy of this room we have to confess that we don't know anything. Mm-hmm. I remember Baba saying to a young man in New York, Baba said, tell me in 5 words what you have learned from all these books that you have read. And this young man was truly an intellectual person. He was no dummy. And this man couldn't answer. He couldn't think of, 5 words. And Baba reminded him, I have learned absolutely nothing. Now this was done in love. He was simply telling this young man and all of us that we mustn't presume, because we have a capacity to interpret this information in some fashion, mm-hmm. that we understand it. Understanding is not knowledge. We have more information than we'll ever understand. So that's when the heart comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's when the heart comes in and tells you, it's really not necessary, darling. Mm-hmm. Don't fret because you don't understand God Speaks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Baba says, don't understand me, just love me. Thank you, Baba.
Perhaps that's where we should stop this for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you all.
In the end, for the whole
It's wonderful, isn't it? And Baba just arrived there, you see, so people didn't know much about who he was. I mean, it was all new in that area. And they knew a Sub Master had come. In India, that's enough, you know, because then they come for blessings and help. And I mean, it's like having a anytime banker in your neighborhood, you know. You go and you can, anytime, you know, it's right there. In India, they're familiar with this. They don't need, you know, the teller. They have this awareness that if there's a source in your neighborhood, it's good. So one day, a farmer comes, and he wants to see this master who's moved into this area, you see? And he says, oh, he says, you know, Mayor Baba, you are wonderful, you're a great master, and you go on and on. He brought garlands, and yeah, wonderful, and I praise you and everything. And I said, yeah, and what brings you here, and what do you want? He says, yeah, he says, I just want your help. He says, I'm destitute. I'm in a real dilemma here. So my life is on the line. Well, you see, I can't find water where I am. I can't find any water. I've been digging and digging. I put all my money into it. I can't find any water. No water. Looking at the mandi, you know, who are also digging and digging, you know. This is Maharabad, after all. And they sort of look at Baba, and he looks at them, and he says, well, I said, how much, I think he said, how much, how deep have you gone? And he says, well, I think 6 feet, Baba. Now you must help me. You are the perfect one, and you're the great master. Could you help me? My family's about to lose my farm. It was a pitiful thing, you know. All his money was in this water, and he depended. It's all this acreage and a family, but no water. So Baba said, well, 6 feet. He says, dig three more. Oh, thank you perfect one. It's wonderful. He's bowing, and he was so happy, you know, and he's praising and singing his praise. I mean, just joy was on his face. And he left, absolutely content and happy man. He goes back to his farm. And as soon as he leaves, Baba looks at the Mandli kids, the young men that were around him. He says, what have I done? What have I done? And they said, what do you mean? He says, no. He said, what have I done? You don't understand. What's the problem? What's the problem? This fellow goes back to his village. He digs there. What if he doesn't find water? Have you thought of that? He says, I don't know. What do you think that's... Yes, he said. Why did you let me tell him such a thing? I just... Tell them to dig three more feet. What if he doesn't find anything? You know what these people are like around here? You know? They think it's a master coming here and so forth. What if he goes back and he doesn't get anything? He's going to drive us out of this place. They'll come, the whole village will come, and they'll bring their tools, and they'll drive us out. Yeah. We've just gotten here. Nobody knows who we are. Mandli said, it's terrible. Why did I tell him such a... How could I have been... Why did you let me do this? And Mandli, you know, they said, well, I don't know, but you, what can we do, you know? And then it was sort of forgotten for a day or so. A day or so later, Baba brings it up again. Why did you let me... What are we going to do? You know, Baba's all agitated. What if he goes back and there's no water there? There's nothing. I mean, can you imagine? He'll bring all his family and friends. They'll spread rumors that this is a false master here and these people are here and we must drive them out. How could you do this? Why don't you people tell me not... Mandli, you know, they started to get upset now, you see. They said, yeah, what if they come and drive us out? Where will we go? What will we do? You know, they got all excited, you know. And then it sort of died now. A day or so later, Baba again brings it up. Why is this farmer comes and I've said this. Why did I say such a thing? By this time, he'd really gotten them all stirred up. You know, now they were really going. They were really worried. What are we going to do? Well, the day came when the farmer, you know, was going to come back. Is he here? Is he come? No, not yet, Baba. We'll go on the road and look and see. Can you see him? Is he come? No, Baba, not yet. We'll look.